If you close your eyes and let the God of hope come into your heart and mind, you will see that he has said recently to us is in the last 5 years, that there will come a day that there's not a single seat available in this house, and they will be standing around the walls wanting to enjoy his presence and be healed, everyone. The Lord has said that through different vessels, maybe 4 or 5 times. What I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to lay a foundation for the handout that you have. And probably 98% of everything I have to say this morning has come direct from the Lord, direct through some vessel that was able to hear him and laid out principles for the prayer center or for the family of the prayer center or for disciples. We could go on. So to get into the handout, I feel as though the Lord's asked to lay some type of a foundation, not necessarily to justify the handout, but for us to get to the place where our mind and our hearts are in unity with the word that he wants to bring forth as far as the prophecies that have come forth. So I'm going to start. I'm not necessarily going to give you the dates, but in some cases you've heard these, and in other cases it may be brand new to you. If you closed your eyes once again and let the God of hope show you that there's roughly 4,000 people that are going to look on the website within the next 2 weeks and have an opportunity to hear this message. It's not the few that's here this morning. It has nothing to do with the virus that's going on. But when someone takes this pulpit and has a mic, they have to be very, very careful with what they have to say. If I'm here out of order, I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to redeem your time, and the enemy is stealing your time. And I believe we all will be held accountable for the amount of time that we've stolen from our brother or sister, because we were not saying exactly what the Lord was saying. That's another part. Tim, get back here. Okay. I want to read this to you. As a father to my family, I'm about to give you a key. For each one who picks up this key, it will be your staff of victory. Take each word that I speak to you as if it is said only to you. If you think of it for someone else and not you, you have already erred, and an adjustment must be made in you towards truth. Each word that I speak to you, that I do not specify another, is as if I am speaking it only to you. So the handout that you have is one of those times that the Lord has spoken, and he is speaking to you personally. Not the person next to you, not the person behind you, but he has allowed his mind to come forth from the throne and deliver it to you personally. Personally. This key is my delight to give to you. I speak these things not in disappointment, but in joy, that these words can be spoken to you. You are receivers of truth, and there are many things I have yet to say to you. As you hear and embrace this truth of hearing my words as my life to you, you will be ready for the things I am preparing you for that I want to say to you. I don't believe the Holy Spirit, and neither do you, has ever spoken out of turn. He goes to the limit to speak to you everything that you can hold, everything that you can grasp, first in your mind and then into your heart. But he is very, very long-suffering and very, very patient with me and with you, okay, that we are only able to hear what he knows you're able to hear. The Lord brought grace and truth, right? Grace is always and always comes within the truth that he delivers to you. He does not speak truth without grace being there present for you to receive. Now, you have the ability to reject and reject and reject, but he comes with grace and truth. Every word that you ever receive from the Lord, every place that you read, grace is always present when the truth is available. Next one is this. Do you know how precious your use of my word is? It is as tenderly intimate to me as your times of expressing your heart to me in worship. The foundation of all relationships is truth, and my word is truth. I consider it a time of intimacy when you speak truthfully about yourself to me through the speaking of my words. It is my delight when you speak of yourself according to my word, for our union is in these truths you speak. We are united by truth. My nature in you is truth. My words are truth. I have given you the spirit of truth to lead you into all truth. We are united in truth. Next one. Once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than they do their necessary food. They will no longer take my words lightly as entertainment, almost, and something of small value. For I have not had you here all this time to separate myself from you now. With my own arm, I gathered you into myself, and I am rekindling an appetite in you, an appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you, that they become your very life, more precious than gold, more needful than your necessary food. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. The next one. It is good to review that which I have spoken to you, your blueprint, okay, says the Lord. And it is good to renew the mind with every word that has proceeded from my mouth. But know and understand the most important thing now is to face forward and not consistently being review that from the past. I will redeem the time for you. In other words, the way I receive this is, it's really good for you to have a blueprint. It's really good for you to have everything that the Lord has said to you personally, and every one word that he's given to you that you grab a hold of, that you put in your heart, that you need to review it, but you do not need to be going forward looking backwards. In other words, there's always new territory, there's always new horizons, there's always new important things to be done in the future. Many of us, including me, spend too much time allowing the enemy to talk about my past over and over and over again. It's little zips, okay, that you have to cast down, that you have to get out of your life. It's the little irritations. He's always yammering. The result and the victory over that is just to stay in the Lord's presence. I don't believe that any enemy enjoys standing around you when you are in the Lord's presence. You know, I don't know if he scatters. I don't know if he walks 10 feet away. All I know is he doesn't occupy the same place that the Holy Spirit occupies. And if I allow him to occupy my heart and my mind, whatsoever things are good, pure, and just, I irritate the enemy and he doesn't stay around. That was the foundation. Now you can go to your handout. Some of you have already been reading the whole handout while I've been talking. I forgive you. On October 10th, 2019, the vessel that brought forth this word brought it forth, and I believe it was a morning service. It was in the middle of the conference. He brought forth this word, and when I heard this word, I went to the vessel afterwards and said, if in fact when you go back to your church and your first service on Sunday morning, if you feel as though that service is part of the conference, I would like you to send me that service and we'll tack it on to the end of the conference series, because I don't believe that the Lord is finished talking. Never is he, but in regards to this word, I feel as though it was the beginning of what we are now calling Bring Me the Gold. So to be complete in whatever you're doing with those prophecies, you need to add this one. And we'll go through and I'll begin to show you, give you a little justification why. But the mind of the Holy Spirit began to say, I have something to say. And it was on October 10th. In the past, here at the Prayer Center, when Pastor Dave he was always yielded and still is, but there were times when he would begin to prophesy or begin to bring a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. To me, they're all relatively the same. I don't get into the why is this this and why is this this. It is God speaking. He has found a mouth that will open their mouth and begin to bring forth the truth that the Holy Spirit wants to bring forth. So this individual had this come forth on October the 10th, and he went back home, and that's when he had the first service that has the prophecy, Bring Me the Gold. And there's been much reviewing of that. There's been much teaching about that. There should be much, much more, and there will be, but the Lord began to speak to us. Not that he had not in the past often spoke to us as being a family or being mature or the message has come to maturity. But these prophecies, I really want to call them words of knowledge and words of wisdom. They've laid out a path for each one of us to walk, to be everything that the Lord's called us to be. And He has opened His heart wider than ever before, in my estimation, to say, please hear what I have to say. Please hear what I have to say. It's no longer Sunday school. It is, I'm building an army. I'm building an army not like the armies you're used to. I'm building an army that there's only one real general, and that's me, and you'll follow me into war and peace. Your whole life is what I'm about to say and what I have said in the past. So let's begin. You're welcome to read along. I desire, says the Spirit of Grace, as I have promised in my word. My first question was, Lord, where have you promised this in your word? You're telling us, I've promised in my word to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, that your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. I only see visions, incidentally. I don't want to get into the dream category. Of course, Leah is sitting here on the front row, and she's already saying, you didn't tell the truth. You're always dreaming. Your young men shall see visions, and my servants and handmaidens I will pour out of my spirit in these last days, says the Spirit of Grace. Where you find those references is in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, for those of you that are keeping notes. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And I'll read Acts. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon the flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, in Joel, Joel received this close to 900 years before Peter said this. He just repeated what Joel had said 900 years before. You know, when it happened with Peter was when they were all filled with the Spirit, come out. Everybody thought they were drunken people. They didn't know exactly what was going on. And he brought forth this and said, what you're seeing is a fulfillment of a prophecy from Joel. Now, Peter was a fisherman, right? I don't see Peter walking around with the scrolls. He probably went to church or to the synagogue once a week. He probably fulfilled most of the law as best as he could. He was not a scholar, but the Holy Spirit chose him to speak this right after the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm calling you as a body. I'm calling you as a church, no matter where you live. In other words, this was not being spoken just to the congregation that was in front of the vessel at their home church. He's saying, I'm calling you as a body. I'm calling you as a church, no matter where you live, to bring forth intercession in these last days with groanings of the Spirit and cannot be uttered by your articulation, by your understanding. Okay. It's interesting that the Lord used in this the word groanings, and He used intercession. In essence, if you go to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You know it by heart. You can quote it better than I can. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will. So in praying in tongues, there is a tongue that you're praying, that you are making intercession. Whether you know you are making intercession or not is not the necessity of praying in the Spirit. The Word says that when you're praying, you're making intercession. You're standing between whatever is coming against the Father's will on earth. You're standing right there interceding against the destruction that the enemy is planning. Now, there's levels of intercession. There are people that we call intercessors. But what the Holy Spirit is saying for this season, for this time, you will see that he's saying, I'm calling every one of you to intercede. Every single one of you. And you will intercede through the groanings that you have. Groanings is only used one time. The word groanings only is used one time in the New Testament. It has to do with you using your mouth and removing everything of the flesh out of the way for the Holy Spirit to pray through you to intercede. There's another prophecy that I'll read this. This one you need to, well, all of them you need to create your own teaching and meditate on this. This word is this. There is not more authority released when praying or commanding in the known tongue than there is when praying and commanding in the unknown tongue. The soul of man does not carry more authority than the spirit of man. Your voice becomes my voice of authority on the earth when you allow my spirit to pray and speak through your lips. Your body is my body on the earth. When speaking by my spirit on the earth, you wield my authority, whether it be in the known or the unknown tongue. Spend time allowing the Holy Spirit to give your spirit utterance, that my mind may be spoken with authority in the earth, that the Father's will be manifested. There are times, more frequently than there used to be in each one of your lives, where you do not know how to pray as you ought, and you begin to pray in the Spirit. When I'm listening, there was several crises this last week. I know that I can turn to the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, he's right next to me. He's closer than my next breath, etc. We know where he is. Not only is he in, but he's everywhere around me. That all I could do was say, Holy Spirit, I do not know how to pray. I know your will is this, but I don't know the path to get your will accomplished. I'm just going to begin to pray in the Spirit, and I'm expecting you, Holy Spirit, to give me the words that you want me to pray. I have the one, I know, I understand, I have the authority and you don't. You have all the power, but you don't have any authority. I know you need to use somebody's body, somebody's mouth to speak. So I'm going to begin to pray in the Spirit as you give me utterance, and I expect you to take care of the problem. Now, I don't say I expect you to take care of the problem like I have pride or I'm cocky or I know something or all that. The bottom line of it is I'm humbling myself and saying I'm still only a child. I will never be more than a child in relationship to you. I know what you've called me. I know what you've said I'm to do, etc. I know all that. I know that because you've told me. But I also know that you're the one that will bring the perfect prayer every time for the situation, whether it was a wreck on the road, whether someone has entered into a battle for their life. Lord, there is no cancer has no authority of its own. If the Lord has not given a decision or an avenue for him for anything to move or live, that's the only time that you need to say, Father, your will be done. The Father's will is to be healed, period. I mean, to be healed. And Gary's taught on that. Alan's taught on that. Others have taught on that. Where we're headed, cancer has absolutely no authority. So I'm going to ask you to pray through me for that individual. I've already said, cancer, leave, etc., etc., etc. I already have two or three scriptures that I can quote. But the bottom line of it is, Lord, I'm expecting you, Holy Spirit, to follow through with that. I'll read this again. Your voice becomes my voice of authority on earth when you allow my spirit to pray and speak through your lips. Your body is my body on the earth. When speaking by my spirit on earth, you wield the authority, whether it be in the known or the unknown tongue. I think you all should be shouting, or that you always have known this. I mean, you want to bring pleasure to the Lord? Do this. Do this. Dave would say that you think when you're praying in the tongue, praying in the spirit, that you're praying about getting a new car, and he is praying about you treating your wife right. That's where we need to be. Back to the handout. Stay in the place of prayer. Stay in the place of commitment. Rescue the harvest in the church and rescue the harvest in the world. For I desire a harvest among my people as well as among the world. Be diligent in these things. I will help you in the things that must be done in the natural. But as you give yourself to me in the Spirit, I will multiply your efforts. I will multiply your time. I will multiply all those things necessary. You talk about freedom? How many of you think you're too busy? How many of you think you don't have enough time? There's the answer. There's the answer. That's a promise. That's a promise. I will multiply all these things necessary for you to be kings and priests unto me. I have a library that we've chose to call a truth library. That library is all of the words of wisdom, words of knowledge, tongues and interpretation. Every single one since 1989. There's not a prophecy that's come forth that we don't have in the Truth Library. In those 30 years, the Lord Himself has never addressed us as kings and priests. Not one time. So there is a promotion that the Holy Spirit was able to speak through this individual, that He is now looking at us. He's looked at us this way before eternity began, you know. But you are now in His eyes, not in the person sitting next to you yet, but in His eyes, you are kings and you are priests. He's never called us that before. Why? Because the level of maturity and the level of who we really are, He was wanting to draw our attention that we are truly kings and priests. Look to the person left or right and say, "Hi, priest." Let that sink in. If the Lord gives the opportunity for us to go through all 10 of these prophecies, you will see that He began here by saying, "You are kings and you are priests." He never stopped saying that. The period of time that these were given, from October 10th, I believe the last one was January the 13th or something like that. For 90 days, the Holy Spirit's laser focus in regards to this vessel that was bringing forth the word for today, He was calling us and reminding us that we are kings and that we are priests. Do you feel like you are one? I see smiles, but I don't say, "Yes, I am one. Yes." Okay. That's where we have to get. Every one of your friends, like Abraham had to deal with it when the Lord changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and they made fun of him. I'm sure they did. How they did it, they were probably very brutal and for sure. But for you to know, and for the Lord to know, that you're able to say, "Lord, thank you for making me a king. Thank you for making me a priest. Now train me at the level of authority that a king walks in, at the level of anointing that a priest walks in. I'm one of them. You're one of them." Okay. The only time that kings and priests are used in the Word is Revelations 1:6 and Revelations 5:10. And it says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever." And then 5:10, "And has made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." We shall reign on the earth. That's where we live. We will reign on this earth. He's not talking about just in heaven forever. He's talking about, "I have chose you to be kings and priests here on the earth and to reign. I'm asking you to live up to my expectation of you," says the Spirit of grace. "Continue in these last days to seek my face with an earnestness, and you will not be ashamed," says the Spirit of the Lord. All right? The next one is October the 13th. "Bring me the gold. Have I not asked you, being a body, from the very beginning, to bring forth that in the earth which I have laid my hands on you to bring forth, says the Spirit of grace. And I caution you again, and encourage you again, and solicit from you again, as my dear children, to bring me gold tried in fire, says the Spirit of grace. I did not speak specifically of the trying of fire and testings and trials in which your faith will often be, but I'm asking you to come and complete the purging process, says the Spirit of grace. Do not trade your gold for brass. Do not trade your gold for brass. For have I not asked you? Have I not selected you? Have not I cautioned you that I have not selected you above others, that you would go in a way of pride and arrogance? There is a tendency for us to some degree to think we're special, and we're not. We're not. What's good for one is good for all. What is for one is one for all. But he's saying, in essence, I have a specific need for you to bring me gold and not go after brass. And he has said this over and over and over again. In some cases, he said it in prayer lines to individuals. It was not considered a warning to them. It was just considered knowledge. Be very careful that you do not stop pressing towards the mark of the high calling. Be very careful that you don't become satisfied with your brass when I have you and everyone else wanting to bring me gold. Do not trade your gold for brass. Do not trade your gold for brass. For have I not asked you? Have I not selected you? Have not I cautioned you? I have not selected you above others that you would go in a way of pride or arrogance. Yet, I have given you a calling that no one, I would circle that if you are someone that marks up your handout. Yet I have given you a calling that no one can achieve in the earth except through prayer and except through fasting, says the Spirit of grace, except through going into my word and the things of depth and promise. A three woven cord. We know the three woven cord: prayer, fasting, the word. Prayer, fasting, the word. The depth, my word, and the things of depth and promise. I was wondering, how can I classify the depth and the promising? Lord, what are you in reference to? Now, you may have more than I have. I've only written down three or four. But the depth and promises, the first one that I was able to write down is the born-again trail. Think. I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes again. But think of the entire world. There's about 7.5 billion people on the face of the earth. How many do you feel as though know what you already know because you have born-again trail inside of you, or at least available for you on a web, on the website, or in CDs, etc.? To me, That is depth. The next one that I wrote down is the First John series that Gary taught. How many of you think how many people have the First John series inside of them? It woke us all up, if you want to say we were asleep or that we were lukewarm, whatever you want to put to it. The bottom line of it was certainly depth, the born-again trail. The next one was private worship. The next one is the Sermon on the Mount series. I could go on. The healing, you know, that healing was part of your salvation, part of the new covenant, automatic healing. The wealth that the Lord has given us, he's really asking here, going into my word and the things of depth and promise, he's encouraging us to go back to the foundation or to the foundations and re-listen to them again. I don't know how many of you have a movie that you enjoy watching. I could tell you what Leah's is and you would laugh and smile, okay, you women especially. But when my daughters and her, it's been a while now, but they probably have watched that movie 20 times, 30 times. It is a black and white movie, right? When they say they're going to get together and just have fellowship and talk and tea and whatever, they're really saying, Tim, will you leave the house? Okay. It only takes an hour and a half or 2 hours, okay? But we just want to see this one more time. Anyway, okay. Here's another prophecy that has come forth, and it is the negative side of taking your brass and not staying in the message to where it becomes gold. Many have traded brass for gold. For many grew weary of sowing in the Spirit and have given themselves to success that is orientated by the things that man can do and not from the well of my glory. In so doing, they are trading brass for gold. For it is not that I cannot effectively work a certain amount of my glory and salvation through any system that man can create. But know this, there is brass and there is gold. They never merge. There's either brass or there's gold. And for you, just say, that's me. Again, that's me. And for you who have remained faithful to my Spirit, you shall carry gold instead of brass to the ends of the earth. And your revival shall be of my presence and not engineered by man, says the Lord. If we have the opportunity to go into the rest of the prophecies, you will see that he addresses this more than once, that he has called you to be a gold carrier, a gold possessor instead of brass. That particular word came forth August 29th, 1999. So for us to know that the Lord and the Holy Spirit is very laser focused, we talked about Joel quoting a prophecy that he received the moment that he received it, 900 years before Peter said the same thing, and it was coming to pass 900 years later, we certainly can endorse this one that's only been 20 years. But he is clearly holding us accountable for, and for you who have remained faithful to my spirit, you shall carry gold instead of brass to the ends of the earth, and your revival shall be of my presence and not engineered by man, says the Lord. Back to your handout. Have I not given you a mandate from the very beginning, says the Spirit of grace, and I have gathered your hearts and souls here as one being forth that mandate of prayer, says the Spirit of the Lord. Go into me like you have never determined in this year to come, that you will make this place of prayer inside of you like you have never known before. He has only asked us to go into prayer, to go into fellowship with Him and the Holy Spirit and the Father. That's our only job, responsibility for this season, is to go into Him. Make this a place of prayer inside of you like you have never known. Many will grab you by the shoulder and many by the arm saying, come do this. The natural tendency will be to show your love to them and to show your allegiance to me, says the Lord, that you would involve yourself in this and that and other. But I say unto you as a church, I say unto you as elders, and I say unto you as believers, that what I have laid my hands on you for, as kings and priests, is to go into the prayer closet. You want to be a king? Or you want to accept the promotion of being either a king or a priest? Go into the prayer closet. Many will reason, and your natural mind will reason, and Satan will come and say, I've called you to the streets, I've called you to feed the poor, I've called you to do these things. And yes, in me I will bring these things to pass, but it will not be through an operation of the flesh like most churches know. The next statement you need to highlight, capitalize, but I will bring forth in you an exact replica of my firstborn. Obedience. It's not complicated. It's not spoken in darkness that we don't understand. Or could you explain this to me or that to me? Or what about this? He's very clearly said, if you go into prayer and you stay in prayer, at the end of that time, at the end of this season, okay, I will bring you forth and bring forth in you an exact replica of the firstborn. There will no longer need to be a box. Can you see it? There will no longer need to be a box. There will be no history of a box. There will be no prayer request needed to be put in there. If in fact, I will bring forth in you an exact replica of the firstborn, Jesus never had a box. Close your eyes. Quit looking at, Lord, you're promised there will be not a box. There won't be a box. You talk about Tommy coming and testifying. Everyone on this box will come. Every single one. There will be none left in the box. And all he's asked us to do to eliminate the box is to pray. Is to have a level of intimacy with him. Yes, fasting has to do with it. Yes, confession has to do with this. But here he's saying prayer. I'm asking you. Let me go back up. But I will bring forth in you an exact replica of the firstborn, the one who walked in front of you. Yes, he fed the poor. And yes, he brought forth ministry everywhere he went. It was because he knew me in a private place. It was because he continued to purge himself continually and walk in a place of commitment to me, says the Spirit of Grace. I'm asking you to narrow your vision like never before. I'm asking you to zero in like never before. I'm calling you, says the Spirit of Grace, to become laser focused like never before. Busyness is not a sign, and overbusyness is not a sign unto you of a confirmation to you that great works are being done. And yet there will be times where you'll be very busy doing my work, says the Lord. Listen and hearken. I have few, I have very few who are willing to do this. I have very few who are willing to hide themselves in the secret place and go into my word and go into my spirit and deny their flesh. The flesh will give you many opportunities to minister in my name, and yet I will work a work there as much as I can, but I have very select few who will hide themselves and bring forth the anointing that causes a citywide and a statewide revival, says the Spirit of the Lord. The whole teachings in the past about the slow will go slower and the fast will go faster is completely inside that paragraph. The last time that he chose to speak about the slow will go slower and the fast will go faster, he said very clearly, no longer stop and help those who have fallen, or you will not finish your race. I will stay with them. That means I am that I am, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I am that I am will stay with them and take care of them as children. But you children, do not stop, but continue to press towards the mark. Continue to increase your level of intimacy with me and my fellowship with you, etc. That's very clear. So, I am asking you, kings and priests. To me, that's past tense. From the first time that he said it on the 10th to when he's saying it here, you know, I've called you to be kings and priests. This time he says, so I'm asking you, kings and priests. Okay. I'm asking you to come away with me to a place that I have solicited for you for many, many years. I am pleased with you, says the Spirit of Grace. I am not disheartened with you, but I'm pleased with your efforts so far, but I'm asking you not to quench the Spirit. If you're someone that creates confessions, if you don't create confessions, well, you all do. I believe that you all do. I would create a confession of this every time the enemy, every time the enemy brings his thoughts towards you that you're not worthy, or that you're tired, or that the Lord's disappointed. I don't know when you do your confessions, where in some cases you speak right to the enemy. I want you to read this. I want to read this to you. I want you to know what the Lord said. I don't know if you say shut up, or I don't know if you say be quiet. I don't know if you say be still. But the bottom line of it is, the Word of God will destroy his voice. The Word of God will keep him quiet. I want you to, I don't know how long it takes you to say that, but he won't stay around. I don't believe you'll spend an hour saying it. I believe it'll be gone and you'll begin praising the Lord. Okay. Let's go down to just a couple paragraphs. Let your world that you live in become a place of peace and quiet. Find it? You got it? Let your world that you live in become a place of peace and quietness. I promise you, by my word and by my spirit, that none of you, including the ones speaking now, have come to the place of peace and quiet like I have for you. There is a stillness that will direct your day. There is a stillness that will direct your life. There is a stillness that cannot hear the offenses. Deaf ears cannot hear. And yet you will move out of a place of authority in my spirit, continually moving mountains and moving things in your life. And yet ears are still dull of hearing for many of you presently. And many who will hear will think of other things and only hear this partially. But when you come to another place, you will hear it in more depth. And more depth will bring you to greater depth, says the Spirit of the Lord. What he says is saying is continue to walk. No matter where you are today, don't be there tomorrow. Continue to walk. Continue to press towards the mark. There's a stillness. There's a peace with great assurance. And perfect peace is where he wants us to be living. Okay. I say unto you that your entire life is to be consumed in me, says the Lord. Give unto me what brass and silver cannot. I desire the fruit of the earth. I desire a great harvest, says the Spirit of the Lord. I desire that all of you walk in all the gifts of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit flowing through you. I desire that Joel's army, the army of the last days, will flow together. No weak and no sickly among you is my desire. For I have chosen you as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people unto me. See you at 10 o'clock.